The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:20pm, and a good Saturday in prospect as well. We have King George Day at Ascot, there's a good card at York, we have Newcastle and Newmarket alongside that on Saturday afternoon. It's Lingfield and Salisbury in the evening, and there's a card over in Ireland as well from Wexford, so plenty to look forward to. Stuart Beasley, Alistair Whitehouse-Jones and Craig Forsyth will be your team on Saturday. Right now though, my name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio by Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
I'm good, mate. Yeah, you?
Yeah, good, thank you. Looking forward to this weekend. It's magnificent, isn't it?
It is, yeah. You wouldn't expect to normally before two big summer festivals a weekend such as what we've got. But we have got a glittering star-studded lineup, haven't we? Both venues, Ascot and York.
Yeah.
Races to really savour and sort of mull over as well. They're very difficult races to work out, but yeah, at least it's not all crammed in like it was a couple of Saturdays ago where literally one race is happening after another.
Yeah, we've got a little bit of time between them to digest them at least this weekend. And like I say, some good racing on Saturday. The card at Ascot on Sunday is pretty good as well, which is a nice change. Then we've got Glorious Goodwood and the Galway Festival next week. It's a really good time for racing, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I mean, I go to Goodwood every year, but I'm always... part of me is always looking over my shoulder towards the Galway Festival. It's probably my big day, big week of the year, other than the Punchestown Festival.
Yeah,
flat and jumps, of course, and all the Irish one comes together all at once, and it's just like a non-stop bonanza, isn't it? Next week, you don't know where to turn.
it's good stuff all week, and we'll be speaking to you throughout the week as well, getting your thoughts for the Galway Festival. There's also plenty to look forward to there. You mentioned Glorious Goodwood there as well. The big race, or one of the big races of the week, is the Sussex Stakes, and at the moment we're not sure if Kingman will line up. Prince Khalid Abdullah's still considering it, by the sounds of things.
Yeah, there's one or two meaty looking showers. I've just had a look at the long range forecast for late Friday, a little bit Sunday as well. I think Sunday's going to be the key day where the Kingman takes his chance, because in and around that sort of Portsmouth, Brighton area, down by the coast, there is supposed to be quite a few thunderstorms, and if Goodwood catch hold of one, there could be any amount of rain there, and I think that will be the the decision that will be made nearer the time. If obviously Kingman runs, it'll be great for racing. If he doesn't, then Toronado will probably have his opportunity to have his day in the sun again.
Yeah, hopefully he will run, because then we'll get another duel on the downs. There's been a few, haven't there, over the years. So
there has.
So it'll be good stuff. Anything else in the news caught your eye before we move on to Saturday?
There was a headline in the Racing Post there about the team, Andre Farb team, being really keen on Flintship, and unfortunately at the time of recording, I think he's out, and we're still waiting whether Eagle Top will get his chance to run in the race. I'm hoping that Eagle Top does run, because I've backed him for the King George at quite a nice price. I'm hoping that the forecast rain in and around the London area on Friday afternoon around about 3 o'clock onwards might just fall, and there might be enough rain to allow him to take his chance.
Yeah.
It's a shame Flintshire doesn't run, because he would have been another one on top of what we've got already, because it looks a very good King George this year.
It does, yes. Breaking news, Flintshire has a temperature and will not run in the King George.
I think we've all got temperatures at the moment, haven't we? We're all a bit hot under the collar.
It is, it's very warm. Right, we'll leave that there and we'll move on to Saturday's action then. Andy's going to look at four races for us, a bit of a Brucey bonus. He's going to look at two races, the two big races at York and the two big races at Ascot, and we'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Okay, on to Saturday then. A marvellous Saturday in prospect. We'll start at York and then we'll move down to Ascot. And the 2:55 at York is the first race we're going to look at. It's the York Stakes, which is a Group 2 over a mile and a quarter for three-year-olds and older. We've got eight of them in the lineup here, Andy, and you could give a few of these a chance. It's quite a difficult race to assess at the moment.
I'm actually quite keen on one alone, really. I think it's just a standout horse in this race, and that's Winchuk.
Yeah.
He's just been a revelation this season. He's always been a consistent horse, but he's finally piecing together some really excellent speed figures, and he's becoming really reliable. I thought his performance at Sandown the other day, not only visually was sensational, but the clock, the work he did on the clock was of a very high standard. He beat a good field as well. They went a strong pace. Back in the field was Educate. I think he finished fourth, and he ran a blinder under top weight in the John Smiths next time out, boosting the form. But I thought Winchuk won with any amount in hand. I think Kieran Fallon goes up to ride him. He's getting on with his horse particularly well. He's run respectively behind French Navy at Epsom. Perhaps the track at Epsom didn't suit him the time before. But again, another race which is working out well. Gregorian, of course, was in that race, and he went on to finish third in the July Cup. So all the form surrounding Winchuk this year has been very good. I say, his numbers stack up. He's obviously got Dana, the likes of that horse, Secret Gesture, Philly, and maybe Long John Stab, a companion to contend with. But Winchuk is pretty much the quickest horse I've got on my numbers in this race this year. And I think he's a fair enough price, around about the 7-2 mark.
Okay. I was going to ask you about Dana, because he's got some good form in the book, and he just seems to like it at York. He's raced there twice, won on one occasion and finished second by a neck on the other. So does that come into it for you?
Oh, definitely, yeah. I mean, that's the one thing that Winchuk hasn't got. He hasn't got course and distance form. Dana has. And Luca Camani's got a fairly good record on the Naismar. I think Connecticut won here early on in the season for him. Mm-hmm. And it's a race where you'd like to think that he would have targeted Dana for this race. You know, a couple of runs this season, he's very much a target trainer, isn't he, Luca? He hasn't, you know, given this Colt by Dubarby too hard of a time. And the soft ground last time out at Chester wouldn't have been anywhere near as what he would like. You know, that race beyond, was it Noble Mission, was it?
Yeah.
You know, he struggled to get his feet out of the ground, but you know, given these conditions like he got last year, he's fairly useful.
Yeah, and is a race that Luca Camani has won before as well.
Exactly, yeah.
In 2010 with Summit Surge.
Yep.
And McCadron won this race last year. He could go for an interesting year double, yes, couldn't he, if he goes on to win the King George.
That would be, yeah. But I think Winchuk sets a really good standard for me. He's not the top-rated horse in the race, but he's the top horse of my numbers, and that's where I'm going to go.
Okay. On to the 3:30 at York next, the Skybet Dash, which is a 6-furlong handicap for 3-year-olds and older. We've got 20 of them in the lineup here. It's going to be fast and furious over the 6-furlong trip. And Muthmia heads the betting at 5-1, 6-1 for Line of Reason, Zolti's 8s, 9s for Kimberella. See the Sun is 10-1, Outdo's 11s, 12-1 for Gold Dream, Secret in the Park is 14s, and 16-1 or bigger prices the rest. Easier puzzles to solve than these big sprint races, Andy, but what are your thoughts here?
Yeah, it's always dangerous to be too dogmatic and confident with races like this, particularly on the Naismar. You know, anything can happen, and the draw and the pace and where you're drawn is obviously key. But I think there's two horses for me here that just completely stand out, and they come out of that Curra race, which I touched upon when I was in here a couple of weeks ago. Line of Reason was the winner, mm-hmm. And he beat Zalti, David Minane's horse. Back in third was Discussion to Follow. And fourth was Alban Star. I mean, how good is this form? You know, it was a strongly run race. Line of Reasons won subsequently. Went to York the other week, won over 5. And that race has worked out well as well. Two horses in that York race behind Line of Reason both won. Sylvanus and another wise kid. So forming in around Line of Reason is definitely the key sprinting form for me this season. And obviously Discussion to Follow is third in that core race. He's won again. And Zolti was the only one of the horses that were drawn low that day to figure in the first half dozen. All the action and the pace was up the stand side rail. You had to be drawn high to figure. Zolti ran its absolute face off, really drawn out in the middle. He lapped the other horses that were drawn around him. My one prediction is that Tom Segal will definitely tip this horse tomorrow. I'll bet every single penny I've got on Tom Segal putting that horse up tomorrow. An Irish trained David Marnane runner in a sprint handicap at York, coming off the back of a big speed figure race. He won't need any second hesitation to tip that beast, and neither will I. I thought he ran a hell of a race. He could have done with a slightly better draw. Trap 2 is not ideal. I like them to be down the middle. You know, you want to be where Line of Reason and Muthmir are, right down the arrowhead. But hopefully Zolti can get in a good position, because he's certainly got the pace to figure in a race like this.
Okay. won at a big price, Andy, that I just want to get your thoughts on. He's 25-1 at the moment, and that's Kevin Ryan's Bogart, who won at York over this course and distance off the same mark of 97 last season. Unseated rider in this race, went in front, and the saddle slipped and unseated rider on that occasion. It's just the fact that he runs no kind of race for a while and then just pops up, and he seems to do it at York quite a bit.
Yeah, again, another one to totally dismiss. I think Amy Ryan gets on particularly well with Bogart, and she takes the ride. You know, he didn't run all that well the other day at Ascot, but he's done that before. You know, he was a long way behind, discussion to follow. You're just waiting for him to click and come good, but York is his place, and he won here last year from nowhere, having run in the or been in the doldrums. So, he is one not to write off. And if there's money for him, I think that day when he won at York, there was good money for him. So perhaps keep an eye on the market. That might just be a telltale sign of his well-being. But either way, you strip this race down. The fastest horses I've got on my figures this year are horses like Line of Reason and Zolti.
Okay.
And I'd stick with either one of those two, but particularly Zolti.
Okay, a couple against the field then. Sticking with Zolti, though, if you had to pin down one of them. And down to Ascot we go for a big day there. And the first race we're going to look at Ascot is the 3:15, which is the International Stakes Heritage Handicap for three-year-olds and older, over seven furlongs. And we have betting on site for this as well. And Horsehead Keynes is the 7-1 market leader. Belgian Bill is 8-1. It's 10s for IR and Bronze Angel. 14-1 for Gabriel's Lad and Redvers and Watchable. 16s for Absale, Field of Dream and Pastoral Player. Then 20-1 and bigger prices the rest. What are your thoughts here, Andy?
Yeah, I'd like to just stick with Ascot form, really. That's always the key, isn't it, when you're looking at these straight track races, horses that have gone well there before. And, you know, in doing that, you've got an ever-ending shortlist. Horsford Key, second in the Buckingham Palace, unlucky in the eyes of many. Belgian Bill was also very unfortunate in the Hunt Cup, and he's a previous winner over this straight mile. You've got AR, who ran well at the Raw meeting. Bronze Angel, he's run well in many races over the straight track. He probably could do with a mile, if I'm being picky, but you know, he looked good the other day when he won at York. And then you throw in the likes of the real specialists over the years, like Redvers, Gabriel's Lad, Field of Dream, Pastoral Player. And then you throw Louis the Paris into the mix, who is a 20-1 shot, having won at Royal Ascot over the course and distance. And it just shows you how difficult this race to assess.
Yeah.
What I'd probably like to do here is perhaps dissect the field in two and suggest maybe the high numbers might hold sway. It seems to be where most of the best horses are drawn. Plus, allied to that, the majority of the winners came from a high store position at the Raw meeting.
Yeah.
So I'd probably whittle it down to those that I've just like I mentioned and those that are drawn high. And I was really impressed with Bronze Angel the other day. I've napped a horse called Bartak this afternoon as we speak on Friday. So I'm looking for him to run well on York this coming Friday. Because he was second to Bronze Angel at York last time. And Bronze Angel looked in really good nick. He came from a long way back that day, something that a lot of horses didn't do on the Nose Mar that afternoon. But his sectional times off the corner were phenomenal. He ran a lot quicker than Fayard did in winning the John Smiths.
Yeah.
And he'd be rating probably about £7 or £8 higher than Bronze Angel. Bronze Angel hasn't been hit that hard with a handicapper either. He still races off a fair mark. He's got good form here at the track. As I said, I think he could do with a mile. But because he travels so well and the pace is likely to be strong, hopefully it'll drag his stamina into it. If you can get sort of five places for him around about 10 or 12 to 1, I don't think he'll be too far wrong with backing Bronze Angel each way.
Okay, Bronze Angel then each way is the selection there. And just to back up your high numbers comment there, 29, 22 and 24 were the draws of the last three winners of this race. So
yeah, and you've got a big strong front runner as well in the shape of Majestic Moon drawn 20.
Yeah,
you know, he goes off really fast, so he's going to drag the field along at a good pace up the standside rail.
Yeah, good stuff. Okay, that's the International Stakes then, and the big race of the day is the 3:50, the King George VI and Queen Elizabeth Stakes, which is a Group 1 over a mile and a half for three-year-olds and older. A few storylines in here. You've got the Oaks winner Tagruder bidding to maintain her unbeaten record, the three-year-old filly taking on the older horses, bidding to become the first three-year-old filly to win the race since the 70s. You've got Telescope for Sir Michael Stout, one of the older brigade, and if Sir Michael Stout were to win this race, it would give him a sixth success in the King George and make him the most successful trainer in the history of the race. You've then got plenty of others in there as well. It's a great race. I'll give you the betting before we get stuck into it. Telescope is now 2-1, Tagruder 9-4, 5-1 for Magician, Eagle Top 11-2, Trading Leather 11-1, 12-1 for Macadram, and then 20s or bigger for the other two runners.
I think there's so much potential in this race, Mark. I really do. I think it's one of the best King Georges I can remember for a long time. Well, certainly the one I'm looking forward to the most, because numbers-wise, it doesn't really much get any better than this. You've got Telescope, who won the Hardwick in an incredibly fast time, quickening up really smartly off the back of strong fractions that day to prove what a good horse he is. And he's always been held in the very highest regard by Sir Michael Stout. He's been quite a lot minding him throughout his career. But given fast ground conditions, strong 1.5 miles, he's probably one of the best horses around. Mm-hmm. Throwing the likes of the Oaks winner, Tegruda, who's unbeaten in 3 starts. She won a stellar Oaks race this season in good style. Magician, who's run up to the Fugue in the Prince of Wales Stakes, and again another strongly run race. He's up in trip, a trip which, of course, he's fully effective over, having won the Breeders' Cup 1.5 mile race last year. And we know he goes really well at Ascot. You go Eagle Top, who is probably one of the most impressive winners visually and on the clock in that good 3-year-old race a few weeks ago. And he's been supplemented for the tune of 75,000. The last time that Johnny G did that, he landed the winner as well. Unfortunately, Flintshire doesn't run, but that doesn't mean we haven't got any others to consider. Trading Leather, who's yet to be out the frame in his last 6 starts. Irish Derby winner, second in an Eclipse. He's 12-1. Mukadrama, who's the winner of the Eclipse, is also 12-1. You've got the St. Ledger favourite in the shape of Romsdale, who's 25-1. And you've got Littlemore, who obviously can't win, is the pacemaker. I just think it's an unbelievably good race. I hope we get enough runners for the to be some structure of each way betting.
Yeah.
Obviously, Flincher's out, which means at the moment, time of speaking, we've got 8. It's going to really ruin the race if Eagle Top doesn't run, not only from a betting aspect, but from an interest aspect. I'm hoping he does run, because you get a lovely 8-runner field. And if I've backed Eagle Top already. If I didn't have to choose between something else, if I have to throw another one to mix at the prices, it'd have to be Magician.
Okay.
That was going to be my strategy. Obviously, Flinch was in the race and Eagle Top was out. I'd still get the 8 runners and I was going to back Magician each way, given his course form, his speed figures and his fast ground 1.5 miles times. But I can't have everything. I've either got Eagle Top in the race, or if he's not in the race, unfortunately, I've only got 7 runners.
Mm.
So it's a bit of a bugbear.
So you need him to stay in the race?
I needed to stay in the race, only from a betting perspective, because I've already backed him, and from obviously to keep the 8-runner field in.
Yeah. John Gosden will walk the course at Ascot on Friday. Obviously, this goes out, we're recording this before Friday's racing, so we'll find out a little bit more in the afternoon. But you'd think the fact that he's run okay on Good to Firm, well, won on Good to Firm in the past, and the fact that he's been supplemented, they're going to do everything they can to keep him in the race.
I'm hoping that he walks it around about 4 o'clock onwards, because that's when the rain's supposed to come. Ascot is predicted to get some rain. I don't think we're going to get massive quantities, but there are short, sharp showers. There are thunderstorms in the area. And if he's out walking it when it's a bit cloudy, a bit gloomy, and it starts dribbling the rain, I think psychologically that'll be enough to allow Eagle to Top to take his chance. But anyway, let's face it, they've watered all week. They're not going to make it lightning quick. I think they'll run Eagle Top. You know, like I say, he's already won on Good to Firm, firming places ground, and I can't see him any quicker than that, even though we're going through a dry spell.
Okay, so Magician and Eagle Top are a couple of each-way selections against the field then. So you're thinking that the big two in the race, if you like, Telescope and Tegruda, might just come up a bit short?
Not necessarily. It's just the price play, really, for me. Obviously, I backed Eagle Top on a much bigger price, and I think Magician's value, as we speak, at 5-1. Tegruda's speed figures haven't been good enough for me to include her in my thought process at 9-4.
Okay.
She's been running like low to mid-80s, whereas Telescope's got a 95, Eagle Top's got a 94, Magician's got a 95.
Right.
They've been like doing it at a massive Group 1 standard where they've gone 1,000,000 miles an hour. Tegruda could equally be up to the task, but at the moment she hasn't run any speed figures anywhere near those other three.
Okay.
So she's going to have to improve, and at 9-4, I don't think she's value.
Yeah, fair enough. Let's have a summary then, Andy, if you wouldn't mind spinning us through your selections for a superb Saturday.
Yeah, it's a mouth-watering stuff, isn't it, Mark? We'll start with Ascot. I really like Bronze Angel's chances in the straight 7 furlong race. I think he'll run well. Hopefully Eagle Top will take his chance in the King George, because I think he's definitely worth his supplementary fee of 75 grand. Over at York, I think the Skybet Dash sprint race is to be concentrated around Line of Reason and Zolte out of that Curra race. And I really like Winchuk as well, who runs in the Group 2 contest.
Okay, good stuff, Andy. Thank you very much. Good luck with your selections, and enjoy it on Saturday.
Will do. Thanks, mate.
So there you go, the thoughts of Andy Holding on Saturday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:20 p.m. with Stuart Beasley, Alistair Whitehouse-Jones and Craig Forsyth in the studio. It's King George Day at Ascot, good day at York as well. There's also Newcastle and racing from headquarters at Newmarket on Saturday afternoon. The action continues into the evening with Lingfield and Salisbury domestically and a card over in Ireland at Wexford, so plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.